Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the new Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and the Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you, it's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church.
I believe that the Episcopal Church, and certainly the members of this diocese, are responding to the Holy Spirit and living in faithfulness to our call of respecting the dignity of every human being.
It's very interesting to hear the kind of excuses that are made, not in one church, but in many churches, about the continued departure from Scripture. We're going to be talking about the election of a lesbian assistant bishop in the Episcopal Diocese of Los Angeles. Joining us, the Reverend Kendall Harmon, canon theologian for the Episcopal Diocese of South Carolina. Reverend Harmon, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thank you.
Also, Bishop Keith Ackerman, he's retired bishop of the Episcopal Diocese of Quincy, Illinois. Bishop Ackerman, welcome back.
Thanks. Good to hear friends' voices.
Bishop Ackerman, for you first, are you surprised at all that the Episcopal Diocese of Los Angeles would elect an openly lesbian assistant bishop?
Oh, no. I think it was absolutely not only predictable, but it was something that was greatly desired by many people.
Reverend Harmon, how do you react to this election, and do you think it signals further entrenchment in the Episcopal Church USA on the issue of, well, basically thumbing its nose at worldwide Anglicanism?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think whenever change happens or is alleged to be happening, you have to look at the way it occurs. You change your thinking, you begin acting, but then there's a pattern of acting. And that's where we are in this process. And the Episcopal Church all the way along has been told not to do this, that it's against the mind of the communion, that it's against the clear teaching of Scripture. And in 2003, they did it. In 2006, they claimed to step back from it, but they really didn't do that. Many dioceses went merrily ahead, particularly in the area of blessing same-sex unions at a diocesan level, as Keith Ackerman knows all too well. And then when they had this last General Convention in 2009, they re-embraced the unbiblical theology and practice that they embraced in 2003. But here's the key point. Having done that, the leadership of the Episcopal Church then wrote not one but two letters to the Archbishop of Canterbury saying that they did not do what they did. So the problem is, this isn't just something that's against biblical truth, although it is, and it isn't just against Catholic order, which it is, but it's also by a group of people who are trying to say one thing and do another. And that's what's so frustrating. That plea you just made for honesty in that earlier segment definitively applies to the leadership of the Episcopal Church. Of course, the problem is they know it'll have real consequences internationally.
Speaking of that,
and the irony, part of the irony, of course, is that a number of us are now out of the Episcopal Church. That is one way or another. In my case, for example, I wrote asking to be transferred, and apparently I pushed the wrong button on somebody's answering machine because the response I got was, thank you for your renunciation. But a number of us who are now officially out recognize that what has occurred now is an opportunity for the agenda to continue to be forced. With us in, it couldn't be accomplished rapidly enough by those who wish to accomplish it. With a number of traditionalists out, it's an easier task. But herein lies one of the phenomenal rubs that exists between conservatives and revisionists, and that is revisionists not being highly principled as it relates to traditional faith, are very content with incrementalism. That is to say that if one defines what one's particular long-range goal is, then one can live with not getting everything that one would want at the exact moment. Whereas conservatives, being principled, have not been able to compromise in any conceivable way because we have not felt that truth was anything that could be compromised. But if one is able to decree that there is no such thing as objective truth, and that means that everything is up for negotiation, and it's just a matter of waiting long enough till the change agent is able to get precisely what they want. Or, to put it quite frankly, the Episcopal Church is at the crossroads of trying to determine whether it wishes to follow Saul of Tarsus or Saul Alinsky.
Bishop Ackerman, we heard the Reverend Robert Williams say that he believes it was God who led the members of his diocese to elect a lesbian bishop. With 30 seconds, your response, and then I'd also like the response of Reverend Harmon, too.
Well, I particularly like the use of the term spirit, because I would say the spirit probably did lead them to do that. It's just that it's the zeitgeist rather than the Holy Spirit, and I think that their discernment involves both inner and outer realities. And since the Episcopal Church is, in effect, by its action, decreed itself an independent Protestant American denomination, I guess it's free to do whatever it wants.
And Reverend Harmon?
Well, I would just quote the 39 articles to you. You know, councils of the church can and doth err. I mean, simply because you have a group of people who are prayerful and claim the name of Christ meeting together doesn't mean they make right decisions. The history of the church is littered with simply terrible decisions pastorally and theologically that have had to be amended later. And some of those decisions, by the way, have gone on for quite a significant period of time within the hierarchy of the church. You may well know that in the early part of the church, some church historians think that Arianism was believed by well over half and maybe as many as two-thirds of the leaders of the early church, for example, you know, a very fundamental Christological heresy. So simply because groups of people meet and pray doesn't mean that it is of God. It's got to be tested by Scripture, it's got to be tested by church tradition, and it's got to be tested by the mind of the prayerful church, not simply locally, but also nationally and internationally. And one of the ironies of this situation is we're part of a global church. This is the third largest Christian family in the world. And the global church in our information age, where we've become a global village, has made their understanding and their concerns known to the Episcopal Church.
The Reverend Kendall Harmon is canon theologian for the Episcopal Diocese of South Carolina. Reverend Harmon, thank you very much.
Sure.
And Bishop Keith Ackerman is retired bishop of the Diocese of Quincy and president of Forward in Faith. Bishop, thank you very much for being our guest, and thank you both for our time.
God bless you. We appreciate your ministry.
Well, when we come back, it'll be hour two of Issues, Etc. We'll spend that hour first talking about 4th century Bishop Dr. Ambrose of Milan. Dr. Carl Beckwith of Beeson Divinity School will be our guest. Dr. Cal Beisner will join us after that. We'll talk about climate change, global warming, the environment, and the Copenhagen Summit on climate change. We'll find out what's going on there and whether or not, well, is carbon dioxide pollution? Are renewable fuels right now capable of completely replacing fossil fuels? And what becomes of the poor if the climate change advocates have their way? We'll talk about all of that in the second hour of Issues, Etc. on this Monday, December the 7th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Hour two of Issues, Etc. straight ahead.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.